If you've ever been to an estate sale, a flea market, or an antique store, you know that the kinds of items for sale come in all shapes and sizes, and sometimes they come with a good story. Our next guest has been in the antiques and resale business for decades, and he's got a lot of stories to share about the business, some good, some weird, and everything in between. Dwayne Scott Cerny is the co-owner of the Broadway Antique Market, Chicago's oldest and largest vintage shopping destination. His new book is called Selling Dead People's Things, Inexplicably True Tales, Vintage Fails, and Objects of Objectionable Estates. He's speaking tomorrow afternoon at 3 at Antiques on Pierce in Milwaukee, co-sponsored by the Boswell Book Company. Dwayne, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
Well, you got started early, and I'm not talking like early 20s here. You were in the resale trade starting at about 8 years old. Can you tell us how that happened?
I would basically consign the toys of my neighbors and friends and sell them on my parents' front porch.
It was, and you had a sign up that said it was a porch store, which led to some confused
yes.
passersby.
Yes. It would just confuse people. Adults would come by and ask if I did aluminum siding, or you know, could I recommend a good roofer? Yeah. So wrong visual.
Now, what is it about resale and vintage items that captures your imagination today, and started to at such an early age?
I think probably goes back to the fact that loved that my parents' basement was just filled with all the things from their first apartment. And I would rather be down in the basement and playing with 50s lamps and 60s sofas than go outside. And of course, my mother thought something was wrong with me. but I realized then, too, when I would go to the homes of friends, it would be the same thing. You go into the basement, that's where kind of all the old stuff was, or in the attic. So I was just really just drawn to it. And, it took a number of years of kind of failing in a number of other businesses before I kind of stumbled back into this and just recognized just how much I loved it.
And these objects, it seems like what you stumbled on was this idea that the stuff we own, or in some cases the stuff we leave behind after we pass on, it tells a story, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, I like to say, you know, we're the temporaries. It's the objects that go on and on. The objects change owners, I think they play a role in so many people's lives. And if you consider, if you just look around your own apartment or home, you know, everything got there via you. You either inherited it or found it or purchased it, and it reflects so much about what you like, and it kind of defines who you are.
I want you to take us behind the scenes in the life of an antique dealer. You deal in a lot of vintage things. Is it kind of like a feast or famine thing? Like sometimes nothing interesting is showing up, or you're not finding good stuff, and then all of a sudden there's this treasure trove.
Absolutely, and almost every dealer will echo that sentiment. There'd just be kind of a dry run of finding pretty much, you know, next to nothing. And then it's run. seems to come in spurts, but you have to be prepared for that. So you've saved up your pennies, so you've got some money to spend, and that the van is empty and gassed up and ready to go. Because the race is to the swift, if not the swiftiest.
We are talking to Dwayne Scott Cerny. His new book is Selling Dead People's Things. He's talking about his career in resale and the stories that things tell about us. A common scene for you, Dwayne, is you're at somebody's house. They've got old things they want to sell. Maybe it's things owned by a relative who's passed on. And people, again and again, they think they want to sell it. They think they don't want to sell it. They're negotiating with themselves in some ways, it seems like.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, some people aren't ready to part with things. And we always respect that. I always encourage people to keep family photos and heirlooms. I mean, once it's gone, it's gone. No pressure from us. But then oftentimes, you know, there is a time factor involved. So when someone has to empty out a house or a condo, there's a closing, and time is the most difficult thing to deal with, because the less of it you have, poorer decisions you make. Let's put it that way.
And you tell, most of your book is actually telling stories about things you've encountered in your career. There's one toward the end that I kind of don't want to spoil. I might dance around it in a bit. But the first story, chapter one, you titled this Traces of a Man Who Disappeared, an estate on the west side, I think it was, of Chicago. Can you talk us through this story, what you discovered about this person whose stuff you were going to sell?
Sure. That's the story that really triggered the book, because it was I'd written a number of things, a number of different topics, and nothing really resonated. I did this piece, and it ended up getting picked up in the New York Times and caused a bit of a sensation because of its it addresses a number of things. Let's put it that way. We often have preconceptions about people. Like you said, any number of the stories have rather, O. Henry type,
right.
situations, put that out there. So yeah, we don't want to ruin it, but, what I had assumed was an elderly couple, and, they were very much, I don't want to call them hoarders. You know, there's low end hoarders. People always think of hoarders as being low end, but you know, there's high end, and that's people who have money to spend on whatever they want, and that can get out of hand. And it was one of those. So the home was massive. It had been a huge barn, which was remodeled into a private residence, and I completely misjudged what I was looking at. Well, just, I think I don't want to go too much farther into that, but it was a bit of an eye opener.
Okay, you don't want to spoil it too much. All right.
That one. It's it. But it's actually, if anybody wants to read that, like you said, Traces of a Man Who Disappeared, you can Google it. It's on the New York Times website. Give you a little taste of the book.
All right. Well, so for people who are shopping, people who are on the other side of the equation, talk about some of the characters, the people who are antiquers, I guess, or vintage hunters.
People have all types of reasons for what they collect and why they collect it. And we're often dealing with people who have, you know, they don't have a dozen owls. They have 500 owls. we dealers often talk about this. Is, you know, what one is fine, two is fun, you know, three is suddenly collection. But you get, you know, 20 or 30 of them, and it becomes something else. And you can almost switch out that noun of an owl or a monkey or again. Pick a niche, any niche, and it kind of can move into an obsession where people spend a lifetime looking for these things. We've got a longtime gentleman who shops the store. He's just wonderful, and he collects 6-inch advertising rulers. They have to be not a foot. 6-inch advertising rulers, and of course, it has to be one that he doesn't have in the condition that's maybe better than one he's got in his collection. Very specific. And he's got a great collection. And again, you can just fill in the blank.
And do you become you become like his guy? So he says, Dwayne, you get that 6-inch advertising ruler from yep. Sears circa 1911. Call me. Like yep. You get a lot of people like that?
Yes, absolutely. And we keep lists. We have a wish list, want list, for some of the more obscure things, and you know, all I have to do is say, well, gee, we're never going to get another one of those, and then one walks in the door. Yeah, I've eaten my hat enough times to be that I should be collecting hats.
Yeah. Right, exactly. We're talking with Dwayne Scott Cerny, co-owner of the Broadway Antique Market in Chicago. We're talking about his new book, Selling Dead People's Things, Inexplicably True Tales, Vintage Fails, and Objects of Objectionable Estates. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What have you always wondered or wanted to know about how this works, vintage and antique sales? Do you have your own story about a great vintage find? Are you an antiquer or a collector of some particular kind of thing where you hit the antique stores, the flea markets, estate sales, looking for that one kind of thing? We'd love to hear from you at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up a conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. We pick up our conversation with Dwayne Scott Cerny, co-owner of the Broadway Antique Market in Chicago. His new book is Selling Dead People's Things. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you like to go to antique stores, flea markets, estate sales? What are you looking for when you're there? Do you have the story of a great find, or the one that got away, that you can share with us? Or do you have a question about the business? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go to your calls now. Jason is on the line in Green Bay. Jason, hi.
Yes, hello. Thank you so much for taking my call. My question to your guest is, how often does he run into situations where someone's pursuit of the thing is almost more satisfying and enjoyable than actually acquiring the thing? The reason I ask, my father, we're of German heritage, and my father was on a kick, my elderly father, chasing down antique beer steins from the 1800s. There was a company, Metlock, and they were highly desirable. And it gave him so much pleasure searching Craigslist and eBay for these old beer steins, and the guy doesn't even drink. But he just liked collecting them, putting them on a shelf in the basement, and then it was on to the next chase of a beer stein. One day I went over there and noticed there's no more beer steins. I said, Dad, what did you do with all of these? Well, son, you know, I'm getting older, so I gave them to an auctioneer to sell for me. I said, yeah, I thought to myself, you spent a couple of years collecting this, and now you're just going to get rid of them? And he said, well, to him, it's the thrill of the chase.
Interesting.
So I guess I'd like your guest's input on that.
Jason, it's not so much the thing as the hunt for the thing, for some people, anyway. Dwayne?
Yeah. Actually, it's the endorphin rush of shopping. there's no reason to go and separate this from that vintage or antiques would be different from anything else. It's the hunt, it's finding it, but it's not necessarily buying it. and oftentimes people will put in their head, you know, I've had people come in and say, you know, I'm looking for suits of armor. Well, you know, there's not going to be too many suits of armor in Chicago. It could happen. Yeah. But yeah, my guess is even when they find it, well, no, that's nice, but it's not the one I was really thinking of getting today. though Jason, it's curious with your father, because obviously it brought him happiness. Just the hunt of it and locating these beer steins in a way fulfilled him as like nothing else in life did, which is kind of special. And I think, again, the book is so much about, you know, people and their things, these objects, that we kind of pay a little more attention to what we collect and why we collect. And what it means to us, and not so much the monetary value. Unfortunately, that kind of gets in the way of things, because there's just a bigger truth in digging deep into why he liked those beer steins and what it meant to him.
Jason, thanks for that call. And that reminds me, I used to do this more. I'd have a mental list of books I'd look for when I was at a used bookstore, you know, not to collect them, not fancy editions, just stuff I wanted to read and own. And, you know, the internet came along and I knew, oh, I could find that in 2 seconds and get it sent to me. But where's the fun in that? So I wanted to ask, how much has online shopping, eBay, things like that, changed your business?
I think the business had to adapt, like every business has had to adapt to the internet. Suddenly that instant gratification really isn't as gratifying when it just shows up in the mail. that process of discovering something at a yard sale or an estate sale or an antique shop, that's a totally different experience than sitting in front of your monitor. And it's rather bounced back. I've seen, I think it's since about 2008, 2010, something like that. The vintage business has kind of certainly picked up, because I think the novelty of the internet is worn off a bit. Not that you can't get great things there. That's fine. But that hunt, and there's just a certain like satisfaction that you really did something rather than just click a mouse.
Let's go to another caller now at 800-642-1234. Michelle is with us in Wausau. Michelle, hi.
Hi. I was just going to say, I think for me, no matter what it is that I'm kind of collecting, and I don't have that one thing that I really look for, but it's being able to get the history of that item along with the item, or maybe you don't even purchase the item, but it's interesting to hear the history that came with the item that you're looking at.
Michelle, thanks for calling. Dwayne, how often do you have that story behind the items you're buying and selling?
Well, thank you, Michelle, because that really nails down the coffin lid on this book. Is getting that story is finding out who owned it, what were they like, what else interested them. That to me, that backstory is everything. The commerce kind of gets in the way of all of that, unfortunately. So I think it's cool that Michelle gets it, because not everybody does.
Thanks, Michelle, for calling in. We're talking to Dwayne Scott Cerny. His new book is Selling Dead People's Things, Inexplicably True Tales, Vintage Fails, and Objects of Objectionable Estates. Back to your calls. Mark is on the line in Three Lakes. Mark, hello.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, what'd you want to tell us about, Mark?
Well, I am a collector of collections, and I'm always looking for something to, how can I put it, I'm 60-plus years old. What will, how can I put it, keep its value, and my, you know, if I pass, what will it be worth to somebody else?
And what are you collecting these days, Mark?
My favorite collection is tools.
Like antique or vintage tools?
Like hand tools of vintage is great because they've standed the test of time.
Uh-huh. Mark, thanks a lot for sharing that. Mark collects collections. He's moving on from one thing to another. Do you meet people like that, I assume, Dwayne?
And as far as tools, Mark won the little lotto on that one. Because that's a solid market, both rural interest and city interest. Vintage tools, he's right. It's just the quality of how things were made. I'd be curious what his other collections are. Vintage tools is a good one. You can't, you know, at least he didn't say Franklin Mint. You know, I was getting a little worried there.
And Dwayne, how often do you see people, you mentioned, you know, sometimes stuff is just stored away in the basement. Tools, I could definitely see, you know, having those on display. They're great decorations, too, in addition to collecting. How much are people flaunting this stuff versus sort of tucking it away?
It's probably 50-50 on that. I mean, you know, in the business, we call these things, if you just collect them, let's say, you know, people collect telephones. Vintage telephones, and you know, they use a cell phone. They don't use the telephone. That those are shelf sitters, but it's part of your decor. Again, what I was talking about earlier, and you know, that's it. You're surrounding yourself with all these things, and it makes you happy. When things start to get a little out of hand, or you're starting to rent storage units and packing these things away, I think some of the magic disappears there. I think it's 50-50 on that one.
Time for another caller. Mike is with us in La Crosse. Mike, hi.
Hello, how's it going?
Good. What do you collect, Mike?
I collect cookie jars.
All right. Any great stories? Any favorite finds?
I got a real good story. I started collecting them like 25 years ago, and I just decided I like cookie jars. And my oldest boy at the time was probably 5 years old, and I'd always look through the Foxy Shopper and the newspapers and stuff here in town. And I seen an auction about 30 miles, or a rummage sale about 30 miles away that advertised cookie jars. So Saturday morning, we get up early. I take them to McDonald's for the big adventure, you know. And we get to the rummage sale, and it was a littler old lady. And it was in the fall. And I was looking around, dragging him along, you know. And he had a runny nose and everything. The lady asked me finally, she says, "Are you looking for something special?" And I said, "Yeah, I was looking for the cookie jars you advertise." And she says, "Well, someone came last night and bought them all."
Oh, no.
She says, "But I got one in the house."
Uh-huh.
She says, "I wasn't going to sell it, and I'm going to have to ask a little bit more money for it. Would you like to look at it?" I said, "Sure." And so we walk in, and she pulls her hanky out of her coat pocket and wipes my boy's nose and everything else. She had the cookie jar full of receipts sitting on her kitchen counter, and she said, "This is it." And I'm looking, and it was a very nice cookie jar. She says, "Well, like I said, I'll have to ask a little bit more money for it." And she says, "Is $8 too much?" I said, "No, I'll take it."
All right, Mike, thank you so much for calling in and sharing that story. Dwayne, just briefly, you've got an event coming up tomorrow. Are you going to be reading some of your stories from the book?
I am, yeah. First time visit to Milwaukee to do a book reading. We're going to do a couple chapters from the book, and it's going to be fun.
Dwayne, it's been fun. Thanks a lot for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Rob.
That's Dwayne Scott Cerny, co-owner of the Broadway Antique Market in Chicago. His new book is Selling Dead People's Things, Inexplicably True Tales, Vintage Fails, and Objects of Objectionable Estates. You can hear Dwayne tomorrow, August 10th at 3 at Antiques on Pierce in Milwaukee, where he'll be reading and signing books. That's co-sponsored by the Boswell Book Company. And if you have a vintage story to tell, I mean, a story about vintage stuff, not an old story, you can do that over at the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let us know what you hunt for at antique stores and estate sales. And maybe, like our last caller, share the story of that one great find and the story behind it.